Hi, this is Dark Journalist. Today we're excited to welcome back former Assistant Housing Secretary, financial expert, and the publisher of the Solari Report, Catherine Austin Fitz. Now, Catherine has been helping to shape a new conversation about how the corporate media manipulates the narrative around our financial future in her fascinating quarterly reports at Solari.com. Now, what makes this episode a real unique breakthrough is we're not only going to examine the corporate media's role in promoting propaganda, but also look closely at streams of disinformation stories being pushed in alternative media circles and who is behind them. Is censorship getting a new face? Here we go. Former Assistant Housing Secretary Catherine Austin Fitz, Media Disinfo, False Memes, and Adult Fairy Tales.
You know, I'm assuming that the intelligence agencies, both public and private, float these things and they see what, you know, they've got lots of people on the payroll. It's the biggest job program in America. COINTELPRO, you know, 20.0. You know, they float these things and they see what they can get traction and energy by. And they, you know, they're developed around fear, you know, fear, greed, and the need for emotional satisfaction. The reality is, if you look at the what's happening, we're dealing with legal, financial, physical debasement across every aspect of our life.
You know, I started doing these special Dark Journalist reports and interviews because I saw a complete disassociation between the official reality that we were being spoon-fed by the corporate media and the actual situation on the ground, which is often obscured by covert forces operating in a shady twilight between government institutions, corporate entities, and a black budget underworld. I managed to identify three levels of information in any important story or deep event, such as the financial coup d'etat of 2008. These three levels are 1. The official story, often in place to guard the real story. 2. The counter story, put out by diligent researchers and distorted by the media as conspiracy theory. 3. Third force narratives, or junk conspiracy, where a bizarre meme is used to try and alienate those looking into alternative research and discourage average people from doubting the official story. The process of examining and decoding these three different levels is what I call dark journalism, where we go deeper than the official reality, but also avoid the junk conspiracy third force stories. We drive deep into the heart of the facts and find those experts who can help us reveal the mystery. So with all that in mind, let's go talk with Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, it's great to see you and welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Now, we have so many great things to cover today, but let's start with this. Over the past decade, we've had so many conspiracies come out of the shadows and be revealed as true. From the Snowden revelations about NSA surveillance of average Americans, to the manipulation of our financial system by a small group of insiders, people are getting the message that reality is not what the corporate media told them it was.
Yeah.
Along with that new awareness, we're seeing major levels of distraction by forces in the mainstream and alternative media, creating these elaborate memes to take that new awareness that people have and steer it into confusion. Now, I've put together a list of some of these memes here, and I'd like to get you to comment on them. So the first one is, the White Dragon family is rescuing the economy.
Right. This is one of my favorites.
Then there is, Cabal arrests are pending, the Alliance for Good are negotiating their surrender.
Right. That one's been going on for quite a while.
That's true. It has been.
There are different versions and variations, but, you know, no need to act because it's all about to pop. So you can just lay back and...
Yeah, the elites are being arrested, and there's going to be tribunals where they are put on trial, the cabal will go to jail, and behind the scenes, the good guys are in charge, really. So, no need to worry.
What? We're going to hang all the partners at Goldman Sachs.
Well, that sounds more like wish fulfillment, and we'll get into that. So we're seeing this large-scale manipulation of the message, and at the same time, the public awareness is rising. So now we have all these stories out there. And they appear to be part of this awakening. But in fact, when we look a little closer, what they're doing is co-opting this wave of insight and polluting the information, in fact.
Right.
So whether that's on the financial manipulation of the markets or UFOs or political corruption, somehow they are switching the narrative out down this other path. So my question is, who is it that is doing this?
Well, I'm assuming that they're coming from a variety of the intelligence agencies, both public and private, float these things and they see what, you know, they've got lots of people on the payroll. It's the biggest job program in America, COINTELPRO, you know, 20.0. And, you know, they float these things and they see what they can get traction and energy by. And they, you know, they're developed around fear, you know, fear, greed, and the need for emotional satisfaction. The reality is, if you look at what's happening, we're dealing with legal, financial, physical debasement across every aspect of our life. And it's very grinding. It's very, you know, so dealing with that reality in the real world can be very unexciting.
Sure.
Okay. And what all of these things have, whether they hit our fear or our greed, is they have, you know, we used to have a course at the university that I studied at called The Romance of Sex and Alcohol and Tobacco. You know, they all have sex and romance to them, you know, and they play on our desire for something a little more exciting and sacred than the debasement of what I call the slow burn. And one of the things they offer, whether they play the fear side or the greed side, is they play on people's desire for hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tragic because, in fact, hope comes from facing reality and finding the pathway that can shift things. And if you're not prepared to deal with the nuts and bolts of reality, you're never going to find that path. You know, you're going to go in these sort of cycles that never touch the train tracks. And that's part of the goals of the story, is they're trying to keep you from touching the train tracks of power and money. You know, so it's, how can we keep everybody preoccupied while we control the train tracks? So you want to, do you know what the third rail is? You've got a subway system where you live.
Yes.
So the third rail is the, you know, the train or the trolley runs on the tracks, and then the third rail carries the electricity. Well, they want to keep everybody away from the third rail.
I see.
They want to control the third rail, and whether it's the fear version or the greed version, they've got everybody going in circles, which leaves them free to control the third rail.
Well, that's really fascinating. And of course, those are some of the more positive memes that are floating around out there. That type of adult fairy tale.
Right.
But then we also have these negative ones. And you can spot fear porn better than just about anybody. Of course, being in that financial world, there are always people and pundits coming up to you and saying, we are going into a total economic collapse.
Right.
And it gets repeated ad nauseum. So the sky is always falling.
This is what has shocked me the most, because I will have people come to me who are very well educated and very intelligent. And when we start, you know, they'll come in and they'll say, Shemitah is happening in September and the whole global economy is going to crash.
Right. And here we are in December.
And you think, how in the world could someone, you know, with this experience and this accomplishment buy this? It's one of the reasons I believe that one of the real problems is entrainment. I think, you know, we were coming into a fall where a lot of big decisions the can had been kicked. And it was clear we were facing a lot of big shifts, including the, you know, the yuan going in the SDR system and some of these other issues. So it was going to be, geopolitically, it was going to be a very tense fall, and it clearly has been. But rather than people looking at the reality of what was coming up, there were, again, this whole range of adult fairy tales, Shemitah being the most, you know, sort of prominent, ridiculous. And I'm convinced, Daniel, from sort of just interacting with the people I did, that they had literally digested a huge amount of entrainment and sort of subliminal programming. And that's why on the Soleri Report, I try and get every subscriber to listen to or read our Soleri Report on the use of entrainment technology to trick people in terms of how they invest their money.
Yeah.
So, and this is something I've talked with you a lot about. You know, I just pointed out that we have a video now up of a university professor from University of California, Davis, talking about how this kind of technology is being used on kids, and that's why we're seeing this bizarre behavior at universities around the country. So I think with respect to this fall, they were using entrainment to kind of play off what clearly was coming up was going to be a tense time. So they and they kind of created a lot of resonation in the field, you know, about that time, which was clearly going to be a tense time. So in that sense, the fairy tales aligned with the reality energetically.
That's interesting. And on some level, I expect that from the mainstream media, who really have only become much worse since they've been centralized into just six companies controlling the vast majority of news that we see.
Right.
But now we're seeing this COINTELPRO 2.0 factor creeping into the alternative media
and ultimately rendering us powerless to act on that new information.
It's also deliberately attempting to marginalize alternative media to the point where a reporter like me won't even want to be associated with it, the same way I don't want to be associated with the corporate media. So it's a very sophisticated op.
Right. I think, you know, my experience has been in many respects the alternative media is worse than the corporate media.
Huh.
Although the corporate media is getting pretty ridiculous. So, you know, the corporate media was always the official story, but it has only recently become what I call the shriek-o-meter.
Right.
So, you know, they've both become shriek-o-meters. And I think part of it is that, you know, whether it's the happy adult fairy tale or the fear adult fairy tale, you know, hope sells and fear sells. Reality, you know, is difficult and complicated and depressing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And to get something done in reality requires action. And that means dealing with the COINTELPRO that happens when you have weather problems when you start to take action. So you know, reality is a lot harder. There's another dynamic that's going on too, Daniel, and that is if I stick with adult fairy tales, then whether it's the problem or the solution, it's a stranger. A stranger is the problem and a stranger is the solution. Okay, so we have, you know, the Asian white dragon families are the savior and they're going to solve us. Or E.T. is the Lone Ranger and is going to come down in his UFO and save us. There's no requirement to look at intimate responsibilities. So the fact that people in my community, my neighbors, are dealing drugs, I don't have to look at. You know, and I'm not talking about marijuana, I'm talking about hard narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
Or that the bank I bank at is laundering money. Or that, you know, my brother or sister is at Goldman Sachs doing these things. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it gets very ugly when you have to start looking at the intimate picture. You know, it's funny, I started warning people in 1998 about the housing bubble. And I warned them all the way through the crash and the bailouts. And then I had to listen for many years why they would ask me, why did nobody warn us? Well, wait a minute, I risked my life to warn you. You don't even remember. But what I saw was the housing bubble was not engineered by people in Wall Street and Washington. Certainly they started it and ran it, but it was engineered by mortgage bankers, home builders, you know, appraisers, title insurance people, and professionals in every county in America. Everybody was, you know, and the opposition I got was not just from the top guys. The opposition I got was people saying, hey, you know, we're having a party. Don't mess it up.
Right.
So you know, there is an unwillingness to look at the intimacy of the evil that we're dealing with.
I see.
I mean, since World War II, we've run around the world and subsidized ourselves by debasing everyone with a dollar or doing what we do militarily around the world. And most Americans have been the beneficiary of that, and nobody wants to look at it. So I used to always say, you know, Goldwater ran for, or George Kennan at the end of World War II said, we have 6% of the people and 50% of the resources. We're going to have to drop a lot of bombs to keep that going. And so Goldwater ran for president and said, well, we're going to have to drop a lot of bombs. And so the American people said, oh, well, we don't, you know, we're good Christians. We want nothing to do with that. So Jimmy Carter said, okay, well, you know, when he sat in front of the fireplace with the sweater and he said, okay, well, we're going to have to cut back. And American people said, no, we don't want to do that. So the Bushes came along and said, you know something? You're good Christians. Here's your check. Don't ask any questions. The American people said, okay.
All right.
Right. So it's the red butt problem, the story I've told you.
And briefly, that story is you were giving a lecture to a spiritual group and you told them that with one press of a red button, they could end illegal drug pushing in their communities, but they would lose money in their IRAs and no one would push it.
Right. You know, we facing the intimacy of totalitarian is implemented one person at a time. And it is phenomenal how many people in America are implementing totalitarianism.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at the candidates, you know, look at Carly. You know, basically she's somebody whose whole career was implementing totalitarianism for the intelligence agencies and the big, you know, a few big corporations. So that's the evil that we're dealing with in the U.S. system is very intimate, and we have to look at it because that's where our power comes from. But it is much more entertaining to engage with adult fairy tales. So I'll give you a perfect example.
Yeah, please do.
Let's dive into the white dragon elder, Asian elder family. Okay, so the Chinese per capita is probably about $10,000 per person. Okay. And the U.S. per capita per person at this point is probably somewhere between 50 and 60,000. Okay. They have massive environmental problems in Asia because we essentially exported our environmental pollution to China when we outsourced to China so much of the manufacturing. So they've got $10,000 per person. They've got massive number of people still in poverty. They have massive environmental cleanup. If you are the wealthy families of Asia, are you going to spend your money to clean up your environmental problems and help your people get out of poverty? Or are you going to instead use that money to subsidize people who are making $50,000 to $60,000 a year and outsource your problems to them?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. You'd probably take care of your own people.
Well, but it's not logical. Now let me keep going. Let's look at the spending of the people who make $50,000 to $60,000 a year. I have it on my list to look up the latest statistics on the lottery, but we spend a lot of money on the lottery. We spend a lot of money on hard narcotics. We spend massive amounts of time every week watching television.
Right.
I just got the latest grocery sales. I keep using the statistics. For the year ending June 30, 2015, the American people spent $2 billion at grocery stores on fresh food and vegetables. They spent $10 billion on carbonated drinks. So you take the money we spent on the lottery, hard narcotics, an excess of, you name whatever sin it is, an excess of that, illegal gambling, you know, and you add to it cutting out carbonated drinks and you add that all up, what you've got is enough money for us to reinvest, reinvent the U.S. economy without money from some mystical Asian family. But nobody wants to talk about that.
Hmm.
You know, why should we have to change? I don't know if you've ever seen Carl Deniger's write-ups on Medicare. They're hysterical. If you just re-engineer healthcare from nutrition to death, you can talk about real mammoth improvement in the economy of the United States, not necessarily the healthcare providers, But mammoth improvement if we will just behave responsibly. So why would a group of wealthy Asian families use their money to subsidize our irresponsible behavior when in fact spending it in Asia would solve their environmental problems, which are very significant, and bring their people out of poverty? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. But for someone to listen to that is literally perpetuating the fantasy, I don't have to change. The problem's not me. The problem is them. The problem is out there. It's the other. The other is the problem. The other is the solution.
So it appeals then to our wishful thinking and our tendency to blame something else instead of turning that spotlight on ourselves.
I think it appeals to the fear of what will happen if you face reality. Facing reality, you know, the hardest thing a human being has to do is look in the mirror and say, I'm the patsy. I know because I've had to do it. It's very hard. And, you know, because then you have to go to work on the real thing. You have to change your behavior and habits. You need to try and network and collaborate with your family, your neighbors, your network, and try and change. You need to find the opportunity. I'll give you an example. The reason I took the position many years ago that we were going to slow burn and we weren't going to collapse is because I had a firsthand education in how the surveillance and manipulation and control works because I dealt with the litigation. And I saw the depth of how the matrix is engineered and that there is a matrix. You know, I lived it. And I had to reverse engineer it by living it. And so I had a much deeper understanding of how the control works, you know, because I had a very expensive opportunity, thank you, to the Department of Justice. And what that taught me was a whole series of things. And when I tried to explain to financial people how the control worked, I literally heard, you know, I try and explain control files and that everybody had a control file. And they would say, I can't talk about that. I can't go there because what you're telling me is it's hopeless.
Right.
And I would say it's not hopeless at all. But we have to bring transparency to this. We have to look at it. If we can't look at it, then it's hopeless. So we would get into this negative loop where they were telling me it was hopeless because they refused to look at the dark side. And I was trying to show them what the pathway was to break free of the whole control mechanism. And I was believing it was hopeless because they wouldn't go there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and this is where, you know, I feel like I've just spent 20 years in this loop.
I can appreciate that.
That's why, like dark journalists, you'll go there.
Definitely.
You know, and we have to go there. We have to go there because the pathway to where we want to go, you know, the dark side's not going to go away. So you bring transparency and you try and shift more and more into the light. That's what you try and do, but it's not going to go away.
Exactly, yes. And I find it so interesting that the alternative financial pundits, when you spoke to a number of them, you know, they won't really deal with the implications of the black budget. They'll certainly report on dollar manipulation of the Fed and financial corruption on Wall Street, but they won't touch the drug side or the intelligence side and the secret advanced technology. There's a red line there, and they won't cross it.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at our balance sheet, there's the financial side, and then there's the asset side.
Right.
So what's the asset side? The asset side is real people doing real things with real land and real estate and real products and real services. You know what I mean? They want to stick here. And, you know, it's funny because I'm not that worried about whether interest rates are going up. I'm worried about the fact that they're spraying poisons on my head.
Yes.
You know, what do I care if I'm getting another percent on my CDs if, you know, I'm dying of poison?
Exactly.
Okay. So if you think what's going on in the financial side of the balance sheet is scary, wait till you see the real side of the balance
yeah.
sheet. And the reality is the reason they can afford to spray is because they're getting my capital for free, and we need to figure out a way, you know, not only can they not get my capital for free, but they can't spend it to, you know, stick poison into my arm with vaccines or spray poison onto my head.
So in a sense, we can cut them off at the source by understanding where they get their funding from.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you look at how they're using the money, they're using it illegally. One of the ways, and this is how my journey started, in 1994, I was making GIS software maps so that local business and local citizens could see where the money is. I just told, on the Solera Report, I just told one of my favorite stories about one of my partners from Wall Street who came down and was screaming at me in 1996, you know, the Washington is out of control, it's totally hopeless. And I tried to explain to him about local accountability, and he said, oh, it's a stupid idea, it'll never work. I said, okay, Louise, where do you live? He said, I live in Bronxville. So I pulled up all the GIS software maps and data we had on Bronxville, and I started to walk him through the sources and uses of federal money in his neighborhood. And he blew up. He said that one of the first items was flood insurance. He said, flood insurance, $4 million for flood insurance. That's totally corrupt. Bronxville's on a hill. I've lived there for 30 years. There's never been a flood in Bronxville. The next day, he flew back to New York. The next day, I had a conference call with him. I called him, and he's always on time. I couldn't get through to him for 4 hours. Finally, I got him 4 hours after our call was supposed to happen, and I said, Luis, we had a call at 10:30. Where are you? He says, I have been on the phone with the deputy mayor of Bronxville for 4 hours. I have gone through all of this, every map, every dime, every dollar, every data, line by line, all this corruption and waste is going to stop. And I said, Luis, I thought you said it was hopeless. He said, that's before I had the data for my neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I started in 94. And what I've heard for 20 years is basically, you know, it's too hard to get in and deal with the money, whether it's the taxes I'm paying or the money that's coming back into the neighborhood or the rules associated with the money. It's too hard. It's too complicated. It means I have to talk to the Rotary and Chamber, and I don't want to do that. It's too hard. You know, instead, don't worry. The Asian adults, elders are going to come. The Dragon families are going to come. Or the cabal's about to be arrested. And it's, you know, there's always some adult fairy tale why we don't have to do anything. And every year it gets harder to do something, you know, because every year they steal more and more money. Mm-hmm. And the adult fairy tales have basically been 20 years of keeping people in a state of passive, you know, passivity while more money got stolen and more totalitarian controls have been put into effect. It's funny, I just did a show on Friday and Greg said to me, you know, don't you think it's urgent? I said, I thought it was an emergency when I left the Bush administration in 1990,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But after 20 years of adult fairy tales and not acting, do I think it's urgent? Yes, but, you know, it's every year you put this off, it gets that much harder.
Fascinating. You know, one of the things I find intriguing about the whole adult fairy tale scenario and the way that the media kind of manipulates these memes is that they're using real facts and real stories to twist the truth about these vital issues. So the average person who, you know, should understand that there's the possibility of a small elite controlling their future is now being sold the idea that it's all being taken care of by some alliance somewhere, and it's zapping their natural sense of protest.
Right. Well, some of the most interesting ones that I have to deal with are the ones that are going to make me $100 million. So I don't know, have you been approached on the Iraqi dinar?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you put 1,000, you're going to get back 1 million, and, you know, you don't have to worry about anything because you're going to have so much money. And what's amazing is the whole community that grows up around this spends enormous amounts of time. It's the ultimate in shadow, what I call shadow work, because you end up not just investing your money, but in extraordinary amounts of time, you know, preparing for your millions and planning your whole life around the millions that you're going to get. And it becomes absolutely unthinkable that they're not going to come in.
Right.
In other words, that's your hope. So it was the same thing with gold. You know, gold is going to go, you know, much higher in value, and it's going to solve all my problems, and I don't need to worry about it. And so you end up with this enormous emotional, psychic, financial investment in betting the ranch on one thing, which of course is rule number one in finance. Don't bet the ranch on one thing unless, you know, that's your business and, you know, that's what you're here to do.
Fascinating, so, yes. And this is the fear porn thing because, yeah, of course, we know gold is an excellent investment and a great tool for holding your wealth. And yet, right, when put into this other context, it's manipulative.
Right.
So on one side, we have the corporate media, which enticed everyone into these risky derivative investments, and then that crashed. And then we have the alternative media, possibly manipulated, crying wolf about a global crash just nonstop. And just to clarify now, certainly there are good grounds for us to be concerned about financial stability in a market staring down World War III. But we have seen these crash predictions fail over and over again. And yet your slow burn debasement idea, even though it's not as attractive a headline, has been consistently accurate. So what I surmise from all this is that there are strains of these grassroots movements in politics, in independent media, that are in fact funded from hidden sources that are anything but organic developments.
The Tea Party here in Tennessee, I suddenly start getting emails from national, you know, basically Washington engineered stuff with Washington agenda. And I called the guy who had invited me to the meetings and I said, how did these guys get my email? And he said, oh, well, we were all ordered to turn them into Washington. I said, I never gave you permission to turn my email address into Washington. So that was it for me and going to Tea Party parties. Anyway, so that was years ago. I just got a call a couple days ago, and it was someone saying the Superfund, you know, Tea Party Superfund. So he's talking, and I'm on the web, and I nailed down it's a PAC out of Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. But he's holding himself out as great. I'm a member of the Tea Party. The entrainment is, you know, is turned up to the max. It's like, woo. You know, I thought, oh my God, I can't wait to hear this. I'm not missing. He said, can I survey, you know, would you answer my survey? I said, I'd be delighted. You know? I'm taking notes. And he says, well, we want to, you know, survey you on what's your most important issue. He dangles Ted Cruz's name. I don't respond. So then he goes to another loop and then he dangles Ted Cruz and Ben Carson and I don't respond. So then he dangles, I think it was Rand Paul, and he doesn't get a rise. Then he dangles Rudy. It doesn't get a rise. So he's like, anyway, he does a list of issues, and he says, well, what do you think is the number one issue? And I said, Common Core. So he said, oh, well, you know, we agree that's very important. Would you be willing, we want to fight for that issue. Would you be willing to give us $100? I said, no. And then a process began where I said, no, 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 as he went lower and lower. And then he said, well, what would you be willing to give? I said, nothing. And then he hung up. But I have to tell you, the presentation was absolutely professional and smooth. You know, it was engineered to be deeply attentive and satisfying. And, you know, the cleverness, I bet they're raising a ton of money. And it was all held out. It's what... Cheryl Atkinson calls AstroTurf.
Yes.
You know, and the entrainment was strong.
Now, can you describe the AstroTurf?
Well, AstroTurf is basically a term applied to something that's coming centrally that's designed to look like
independent
grassroots.
Right.
But it's not. It's, you know, it's engineered.
And this is fascinating. These forces realize that they need to co-opt the message of the independence alternative space, or they're looking at real competition. And the only way to kind of maintain this monopoly they have is to adopt and basically assume the identity of the real thing.
Right.
Now, we've discussed this in relation to these two new Pepsi commercials, one of which came out recently with Hollywood-style production
right.
values. You know, there were major actresses in it, and even a famous rapper did the soundtrack. Now, the premise is one which will be familiar to UFO researchers, and it's the Black Knight satellite. The Anunnaki is in there. Tesla is in there. So this corporation is basically co-opting what the independent media has researched and inspired the public's imagination with. And of course, even as they trivialize it with this kind of Pepsi fantasy, the subject of UFOs could actually not be more important for someone to understand the reality of this world.
Well, for Pepsi to authenticate that a satellite, an unknown satellite existed in the 1800s, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty remarkable. I don't know if I ever told you, but this is the time when I realized we had really crossed an important border. I was driving down the highway in 2000, I think it was 2002, and my former college roommate at the University of Pennsylvania called me and said, Fitz, have you seen the latest Tony Soprano TV shows? And I said, yes, I have, because they were about HUD fraud. So there's a classic form of single-family fraud, which is used for what I believe is a lot of the covert financing. It's basically single-family fraud that's combined with money laundering. And I talk about it a lot. And so my roommate says, well, you know, what you're saying must be true if it's on the Soprano TV show. And I said, so what you're saying is you don't believe the former Assistant Secretary of Housing and the former lead financial advisor to the Federal Housing Administration. You believe a TV show. And she said, yes, that's right.
Wow.
Which is why I say in America, fact is fiction and fiction is fact. So if Pepsi is saying it, then you're going to have people all over the country saying, well, it must be true. Even though it's just an ad.
So in a kind of disingenuous fashion, they are adopting what's become popular because they know that so many people are interested in this subject and they need to capture that audience. And the subject itself, the mainstream is always ridiculed and helped to keep secret.
Right.
So I find this fascinating. We're actually looking at a mix of entrainment and market share.
Well, I don't know. You know, it all gets back to what is the truth. You know, we're still looking for it. And the danger is that as we, you know, you have the official reality and then you have us all here trying to figure out what reality is. It's still fluid. And so what you have them doing is trying to control and script that search. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the danger is they keep infusing disinformation into it.
Hmm.
So, and they're very good at doing it.
I'm glad you said disinformation there because it reminds me of all the emails I receive about this flat earth meme. And this is one of the latest adult fairy tales. And while I won't go too deep into it here, the basic premise is that the world is flat and that it's not a planet, it's a plane. So we're on a flat earth. Now, this one I find particularly insidious because this is attempting to take this wave of mistrust of government and the institutions of science. Mistrust that is there for a reason, by the way, and entice that attitude to go so far off the rails into something so absurd and to have that linked with alternative media somehow. So when someone encounters that who's searching for answers in alternative media, they might say, oh, forget it. You know, I'm going back to the official reality.
I don't know. To me, it's remember when I said you have intelligence agencies paying people to, you know, see what they can gin up. You know, so it's very organic the way it is developed, you know, and there's sort of a competition to see who can come up with the best adult fairy tales and get them going and how far you can take them. You know, I think it's very organically done. So
uh-huh.
I'm not sure what this one's about because every time I look at it, I think, oh, great, you know, I could waste a lot of time trying to figure out what the game is on this thing. And it's just, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I can appreciate that.
So I probably will never dive into the flat earth.
Well, I don't blame you. I do find it fascinating, though, when these memes get trotted out there and rise or fall. You know, sometimes they do get a lot of play. As we mentioned earlier, the Cabal arrests have been around for a while. Of course, the arrests never materialized, however, so it's starting to go away now.
It pops up in different forms. You know, that one will pop up again.
Yes.
You know, because it'll pop up and go away and pop up. The one that's a little bit like flypaper that's never quite been able to break through is Planet X.
Right.
You know, that it they never give up. You know, it keeps coming back.
Well, this one, again, is based around some solid research by Zachariah Sitchin and others that there is evidence for a planet that comes into our system at rare intervals and wreaks havoc. But that gets distorted into, you know, Nibiru Planet X is coming to destroy Earth, which is a totally different thing. So we have a kind of fear entrainment going on there.
Right.
And then on the corporate media side, there's just complete denial and obfuscation around this. So we have the two sides operating there. You know, the kind of what I call third force or junk conspiracy, then the official story. But the truth is in that, you know, I call it dark journalism of the independent research on this. Now, there is in these polarizations that attempt, I believe, to make your mind powerless in the face of information that you can't form a real good judgment about because
right.
There's no real way to engage this and take action.
Well, to me, that's one of the tests of an adult fairy tale that you have to ask yourself when presented with something is, does this help me become more powerful, or does this get me to lay back?
Yes.
So, you know, what, when you're faced with a situation that needs changing, the first thing you need is power. You need to figure out, where can I get the power and leverage to really make a difference, whether it's in my own situation or helping the wider situation? Because we're all going to have to find ways of helping our own situation that improve the wider situation. That's the nature of what we're dealing with. And you know, the solution, the first solution, is we just all stop doing harm.
Well, it's an excellent point, and a close analysis of the media fairy tales of denial with regard to the financial crisis or deep events like 9/11 and the JFK assassination, you know, which were completely misrepresented by the mainstream media in a blatantly dishonest fashion with provably false narratives and designated patsies and all that. It shows that these forces want to hide the deeper implications of these conspiracies. And so now their objective seems to be to take the progress that's been made by the alternative and independent media in getting at the truth and fragment it, you know, balkanize it into confusion by co-opting it with these manipulative memes, basically.
You know, whether it's, you know, whether it's the fear version or the, you know, big, you know, solution in the sky version, both of them distract us and pull us away from, you know, finding the power levers that can really make a difference in our situation.
Interesting.
It's a form of disassociation.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that term, disassociation, because when we come back, we're going to explore how that's being used on an important story rising up from the independent media, the deaths of these holistic MDs, and how these covert forces are attempting to take us off the track of that investigation with the help of the corporate media, of course. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Dark Journalist will go there. The deepest issues, the hardest stories, the biggest secrets. The truth is never easy. With top guests like former Assistant Housing Secretary Catherine Austin Fitz.
Catherine, who is really behind this media censorship?
Internet feeds go through satellites. Who controls the satellites? It's the Pentagon.
Legendary investigator Graham Hancock.
Graham, this cataclysm must have destroyed an advanced culture in our ancient past.
It truly was an extinction-level event. It was accompanied by massive animal extinctions. It was accompanied by huge and unexplained sea level rises, and then a sudden plunge of global temperatures.
Best-selling author Jim Mars.
Jim, don't these elite corporate owners need us around to buy their GMO food? Why would they want to depopulate?
Because they are eugenicists and they believe that they need to purify the human race. And if that sounds like the Nazis, that's exactly what it is.
Coast to Coast AM investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe.
Linda, how are we going to scale that wall of UFO secrecy?
Humans themselves are bypassing, are beginning to dismiss all of the policies of denial and lies.
Dark journalists will go there. Visit darkjournalist.com and subscribe now for a special winter discount available for just $39 for one full year. You'll not only receive access to the complete audio archives to stream or download at your convenience, you'll also get exclusive subscriber-only content and Dark Journalist event discounts. Sign up for our free newsletter to stay updated on the latest shows. Dark Journalist, let's get the real story in 2016.
You know, we need dark journalists, so just keep doing what you're doing.
And we are back. This is Dark Journalist, and I'm speaking with the former Assistant Housing Secretary and Managing Director of Dylan Reed & Company. She's also the current publisher of the Solari Report, Catherine Austin Fitz. And as is usually the case, when Catherine is with us, my mind is expanding in several different ways. Now, Catherine, let's explore a high contrast between a story the alternative media is helping to expose versus an adult fairy tale meme that fits the outline of being planted as a distraction. So first, the large-scale deaths since last summer of these holistic MDs. Now, we've seen some excellent reporting on this from Health Nut News. And I should mention here two other outstanding alternative news websites that I use regularly. One of them is Forbidden Knowledge TV, at fktv.is and also cryptogon.com. These, along with Solari.com and darkjournalist.com, can give you a real picture of what's going on, so I encourage you to visit them. Now, this story of the mysterious deaths of these holistic doctors, you know, men and women in the natural health profession, who may have been targeted by big pharma interests because of their research.
Right.
And if that sounds far out to you, it's been widely known, for example, that Merck, the pharmaceutical giant, actually maintained a hit list of doctors and a program to neutralize them from testifying against some of their powerful drugs. Now, this hit list may have acted more in the form of damaging their reputations as opposed to eliminating them, as is the case with the holistic MDs. But some of the language that came out of that Vioxx court case, where this was revealed last spring, was pretty intense, with terms like, let's seek them out and destroy them. That's from actual Merck employees, so quite a story there. And the mainstream media has avoided it. The alternative media is really pushing it. Now, let's go back and take a look at Flat Earth for a moment. The contrast in the quality of these two stories rising out of alternative media quite simultaneously is very remarkable, in my opinion. Story one could blow the lid off corrupt business practices of worldwide corporations with powerful political allies. Story two attempts to ally the alternative media with the ultimate absurdity of Flat Earth. So with one, transparency. With two, we go off the deep end. Interesting pattern there, don't you think?
Right. And it's amazing because you'll see, it's one of the reasons on some of the conferences that we've done together, there's been such a stress on not allowing in any bad dog, any disinformation, and why people get so angry when it does. Because there is a force multiplier that happens when every, you know, when you're trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle. If every piece that goes on the table has integrity and every player who's trying to put them together has integrity, you know, then you get enormous amounts done. The problem is with one player who does not have integrity or one piece that does not have integrity, it can bollocks the whole thing up. It can even explode the effort. So a little bit of disinformation and a little bit of bad dogs can bollocks up everything, and then the momentum and the flow never get going.
I see.
So, you know, if you look at the natural doctor deaths, there is tremendous amount of dot connecting that could happen if people started to focus on that. So you're right. You know, the more of these things you can create and draw energy away. The other thing is, if the natural, you know, if the natural doctor's death is just one of 50 or 100 story, you know, there's just too much stuff competing.
Sure.
Competing, and then you don't, that force multiplier effect doesn't start to happen.
So you become overwhelmed, for example, and immobilized and ultimately disassociated, like you said. What about a story coming out of the mainstream media, for example, like the Paris attacks and the fast rise of ISIS? This is creating that fear atmosphere. And something I learned recently was on the day of the Paris attacks, the military contractor stocks rose dramatically, of course, in anticipation of a new war and these tensions rising. So we can see that war profiteer connection to keeping the public in a state of fear.
Well, it's what I call the shriekometer. What they're trying to do with the shriekometer, and they did this with Ebola, coming into the elections, you know, they had Ebola. I mean, I've never seen it on the, even the financial press, every day was like, Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. It was like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. and it just whited out any discussion, and it was the only way for the Republicans to win.
Yeah.
I mean, basically the Republicans said, we want the Senate, we will do anything we have to do, and what are we going to do? You know, black people are coming to kill you, and P.S., here's a black president, it's his fault. And sure enough, the Republicans got the Senate. But it was what I call a shriekometer, and they basically drowned everything out with this fear porn. So now what we're getting is we're getting the ISIS fear porn. But it's whiting out. If you look at all the big financial things underway and the geopolitics underway, it's whiting out any understanding or discussion of any of them from the, you know, basically right before the Paris attacks, Lagarde comes out, or I guess it was Friday, that Friday.
That Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so just as we're, it was either right before or right after the Paris attacks, Lagarde comes out and says, we've changed our mind, the yuan is going into the SDR. No one noticed because it was, you know, the shriekometer was turned on. And it's very interesting if you watch the shriekometer working. You know, I told you earlier, it's just like Bill Cosby's routine, the chicken heart that ate up New York City. You know, first it's eating New York City, but then it's coming to your state, and then it's coming to your door. So literally a week ago, you know, ISIS is in Europe, and he's killing, you know, Parisians, and but then he's going to Germany, and he's going to all these different places in Europe, and whoops, he's coming across the border into the United States. Whoops, it's every state because we're sending refugees to every state. Whoops, it's in your state. It's in your, you know, ISIS is at your door. Mm-hmm. And within a week, they've gone from Paris to all of Europe to all of North America, you know. And now, it's funny because I was having lunch with some wonderful colleagues on Friday, and we were laughing because if you look at the sanctions, what's been promised us is that the United States and G7 knows where every dime is and can turn it off like that.
Right.
So how the boogeyman shriekometer can finance itself all the way to my door and your door when these guys can turn them, you know, it's patently absurd.
Right.
But for some reason, the key is you turn the shriekometer, you know, every time somebody laughs at it because it's so ridiculous, you just turn it up. You know, it's a bully tactic. You just turn it up and intimidate and turn it up and turn it up and turn it up. You know, and at some point, somebody knows that if they laugh about it, you know, at the local civic luncheon, they run the risk that if ISIS is going to chop off anybody's head in America, it will happen to you and your family. You know, it's basically dirtball tactics.
Yes.
So, but what you're watching is another shriekometer. And we've seen a lot of them, Ebola being the next to last, and now we've got the ISIS shriekometer. And it's getting extreme, and you watch to, you know, when they need to white out financial problems, they can take it to a much higher extreme.
Fascinating, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've pointed out some interesting things about ISIS, and we're dealing here with a very unusual group. I'd say its true origins are shrouded in secrecy. But one of the tactics we've used on them are these bunker-busting bombs. It seems like an unusual tactic to use against a ragtag group of mercenaries, and because it suggests, you know, the presence of large-scale underground facilities that they're operating in.
Right. So I'm assuming that ISIS is mercenaries, and mercenaries is an important thing for us to talk about because we are watching, you know, from the Treaty of Westphalia on in the 1600s, we lived in one model, and we are literally shredding up a 400-year-old model and going back to the model we were in before the Treaty of Westphalia, and that's a very important dynamic. So I want to come back and talk about that. But if you look at the bunker buster bombs and the bombing in Syria, it looks to me like, you know, I don't think those facilities were created by ISIS. ISIS didn't have enough time. We're talking about very significant underground infrastructure, and the question is, what is it, who built it, and what is the technology in there that somebody's worried about? Because somebody's worried about what they're up to and what technology they have, and I think part of the squabble between the different factions is, you know, are we going to keep the technology for ourselves, or are we going to share it? You know, so that's going on, but the reason I think we don't really understand the game in the Middle East for the last 10 to 15 years is we don't know what's really going on underground there. And something's going on. Organized crime, you know, Russian mafia, whatever, is definitely part of the picture.
Huh.
You know, they're definitely there. So, you know, I don't know. But I think if I could ask the genie one question, it would be, you know, who built those underground facilities? What's in them? And what's the technology that everybody's fighting over here?
Well, that's a really good question. So when you look at all that, is Mr. Global on the move?
Oh, I mean, Mr. Global, you know, as far as I can tell, is running this. So, and he seems to be running both sides.
Well, this is a shrewd game that he's played before. And this does bring us around to this question of private armies and the Treaty of Westphalia that you mentioned. Can you tell us about that here?
The Treaty of Westphalia basically created a set of principles that said within a geographical location, the sovereign government has a monopoly in force.
All right.
So if you're in the United States, the U.S. government has sovereign ability to use force. No one else may use force.
Right.
Okay. It's a governmental authority. And it's, you know, in the United States, it's sort of parsed out between state, local, and federal. Now, what has happened over the last 20 years, really, or 30 years, from 1980 on, we have, as a nation, seeded phenomenal private intelligence agencies and armies. We've created companies that can field very significant private intelligence and military capacity. And we hear all sorts of rumors of additional private intelligence and military capacity. And we are now looking at a situation where, Daniel, within a jurisdiction, the sovereign government doesn't have a monopoly on force. You know, we're back to a world where feudal lords, aka corporations, the Vatican, you know, different private parties, organized crime, and the sovereign government all have the ability to bring force. Part of the problem with being the serfs is you're dealing with 20 different parties who can bring force to bear, and there's no way you have enough resources to make a deal with all of them. And the way they can settle their fights is to agree to steal from you.
So, well, that's a bad solution.
Well, but when you look at what's going on in the Middle East, if you look at the number of parties who have the ability to bring force, ISIS does, you know, ISIS gets a paycheck, whether by selling oil or whoever is financing them. Somebody writes their check. And we, you know, literally G7 has the ability through the payment systems to identify every dime and cut them off.
Yes.
So who's paying them? This is simple. You know, if they don't get their check, they don't fight.
Yeah, so, right.
Right. And you're in an area where you're imploding the economy, so it's real easy to pick up a lot of people cheap. Right. So follow the money.
Yes, no question. And it seems like at this point, what you're saying is the end of the Treaty of Westphalia, you know, this period that we're in now.
Right.
Is actually a kind of dangerous situation because you're coming into a new election year. And when these forces take power in 2016, they're going to be looking at fundamentally reengineering the entire government to compensate for this new kind of, let's call it Hunger Games reality.
Right. Well, you're coming into an inflection point in the federal budget. You have to radically reengineer. And because all the global financial markets globally work off of the federal budget, you're talking about something that basically involves everybody. That's a big reinvention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could be looking at a very different country by the end of the next president's first term, America 2020.
Well, you know, here, and this is why it's so important for each county to assert adult supervision of the money in their county. I, as a citizen, if I try and assert adult supervision over anything outside my county, the bandwidth is too wide. I really don't have jurisdiction. But if I can at least assert adult supervision, then I can reoptimize the money in a way that's great for the taxpayers and great for my local economy. If 3,100 counties do it, you know, we've got a fighting chance. If we don't, what's going to come top down is certifiably, you know, it's as insane as what's going on in education and healthcare. That's what a top-down reengineering does. It basically says, okay, let's reengineer this to clamp down, but make sure we can get every dime for our publicly traded stocks and outsource stuff to Asia. I mean, by the time this is over, you're going to have to go down to, you know, some health clinic and get online with a doctor in Malaysia, you know, through Silicon Valley information systems, and the whole thing's going to be nuts.
Right.
I mean, it's nuts now. It's going to be worse.
Yes. Well, it'll be a fully implemented machine with dangerous implications. I agree. Catherine, fascinating, as usual. Thank you. And I suggest everyone go over to Solari.com and subscribe. Start 2016 off informed. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dirk, your host.
What a great year you've had with Solari. Congratulations. And have a Merry Christmas over there.
Oh, yes, you too. Merry Christmas.
Bye, Catherine. Thank you for joining me for this fascinating episode with former Assistant Housing Secretary Catherine Austin Fitz on media disinfo, false memes, and adult fairy tales. You can find more special reports, interviews, and documentaries at www.darkjournalist.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel for the latest videos. See you soon.